Okay, so Christmas, New Year's out the way. Isn't it interesting about all the publicity that goes before Christmas? It's all about how much you should eat. And then after Christmas and New Year's, how much you should not eat. And so it's all sales gimmicks, you know, get you to eat as much of their food. And then afterwards, it's all about getting into dieting so you part with more money. And it's all about you getting into shape. Well, we're going to look at that from now on for the next 6 weeks. Now, what does that mean? That's not just about how we should do all this. You know, we're looking about using our gifts and our abilities. So if we could have our next frame up, I want to look at this scripture. Says, it is God himself who has made us what we are. Hello?
Amen.
It is God who has made us what we are.
Amen.
Now, if you think of that in terms of a potter making a pot, God formed every one of us. So if God formed you, hello, I'm here. If God formed you, why would you want to be someone else? Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, God formed me. No, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, God formed me. Okay, so that means if he formed you, you're not meant to be looking at other people saying, I wish I was like them.
Right.
Hello? Because you're living in denial about your own virtues, because the Bible talks about that there is treasure within these clay vessels.
Amen.
And Jesus teaches that in the kingdom of heaven is like buried treasure that we're meant to dig up, where the treasure is within. Hello?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got treasure within me. So you see now why some people are so keen to do heart surgery. They want to get your treasure out of you. That's what it is. That's right. Okay, so what we're seeing here is, you shall know the truth, and what will the truth do? So we're meant to be free people. We're able to worship God freely. We're liberated. We can rejoice. We've not got this spirit of Anglo-Saxonism on us. Oh, I worship the Lord. Stiff and starchy. You know, if you've got the Spirit, you've got the spirit of liberty. So do I need to remind you that next week when we start the worship? Okay, so God has made us what we are, and he's given us new lives from Christ Jesus. Hello, turn to your neighbor and say, I've got a new life. Well, not many of you actually believe that. That he's given us a new life in Christ Jesus. And it says, and long ages he planned that we should spend these lives in what?
Helping
who? Helping who?
Others.
Oh, you see, isn't it interesting? You're going quiet now. Did it say helping yourself?
No.
Looking after number one?
No.
Huh? Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you're all getting quiet now when love is about giving to someone else. Hello, is Jesus in you?
Yes.
Okay, then let him out. Let him loose. Okay, and Jesus' own prayer, next frame please, says, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. What is Jesus saying here? How did he bring glory to his Father? By completing the assignment he was given to the last detail. I want to say this to you. Every one of us was put on earth by God to make a contribution.
Amen.
To be a giver, not a grabber. We were put on this earth by God to make a contribution. That means God, when he designed you, he designed each one of us to make a difference to this life. We're meant to impact it. If you're a man, you impact it. If you're a woman, you touch it. I was touched by God. Now I'm a man. He impacted me. Okay? So we're here to make a difference. We're here to make a contribution. God designed us for that purpose. That each one of us was created to add to life. Not just take from it. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm here to add to life. Add, not just take from it. That means God wants every one of us to give something back. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm here to give something back. That's just to reassure me you're still awake. That's why I do it, you see. Okay. That means that you and I were created by God with a specific purpose in God's mind. And that purpose is to serve. To serve God. Amen. Service to God. I was teasing the pre-service prayer and asking the guys to spell service, and they said S-E-R-V-I-C-E. Correct. I said, but this is the way that some people spell it. S-E-R-V-E-U-S. Serve us. And that's about grabbing, not giving. And Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, God has created us for a life of good deeds, which He's already prepared for us to do. Now, if you remember any of the messages that I brought in the new year, in January, it's about the second coming of Jesus. Preached it again last Sunday at ECC. It had a profound impact, and a number of people came forward to give their lives to Christ. Amen. What we have to understand here is that we are going to be accountable for our life. We're going to be accountable to, did you fulfill the special assignment I placed upon your life? Because every person in this room is a man or a woman with a mission. Amen. And that you and I are going to be facing the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned in His glory and majesty. We're going to be brought before that throne, and it's going to be our final performance appraisal. What did you do with what I gave you? Did you love me enough that you served? Did you add to life, or did you just take from it? Or as the Australians would call the Brits, were you just a whinging pom? Always moaning about life but not making any difference to change it. You know the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer just registers the temperature. Just says, this is the temperature. And a thermometer Christian is one who just registers the temperature of the world. Whereas a Christian is meant to be a thermostat who changes the temperature of the world. Amen. And so what we see here is that God created us for a life of good deeds. We're going to be called to account as the saved, as the redeemed. It's not a matter of is our eternal destiny in question. It's whether the rewards that have been purposed for us, whether or not He gives us those rewards in the afterlife. And those rewards are dependent upon my performance as a Christian. So yes, performance means everything to Jesus. By their fruits you shall know them. The parable of the goods, of the talents. What has been given? Did you use what was given you? God is not so concerned whether this person had more than you in terms of talents and abilities. He's looking at what did you do with what I gave you. It's not about the amount, it's about the amount of service. And so, the few years that you've got left on this planet, use it to full advantage, because that is what you're going to face at the beginning of the next life. And these, a life of good deeds, so we're going to be judged according to our deeds. And it says, which He has already prepared for us to do. Now, I don't know if you understand this. I was sharing this last week with some leaders. That God is a strategist. Hello? You can't call him Alpha and Omega and not think that he's a planner and he's a strategist. He strategized, he planned for you to come not only into existence, he planned for you to be saved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He planned ever before man set foot on this planet, ever before the serpent bit man with his poison. He planned all in advance that Jesus would come and restore and redeem us. So before ever we were a failure, he'd already planned for failure. Because there's no such word in God's dictionary. Failure doesn't exist in God's dictionary. All he's planned for you and me is success, not defeat. And that means he's a planner, he's a strategist. So please, those of you who are used to, in your occupations and your employment, about setting goals, achieving objectives, and strategizing, you are simply reflecting the very nature of God himself. And so God prepared in advance of your life good deeds, certain assignment that he purposed for your life. And you remember that, I want to pick this up another week, but if you remember the parable, the talents, the third guy said, oh well, I didn't do anything with it because I knew you're a hard man. Hey, he was just projecting onto his master, onto his pastor, onto his leader, all the bad things so that he could excuse himself from fulfilling his duty. And the master says to him in the end, you wicked and lazy servant. It's all a mask, it's all a front, it's all a smokescreen. You like blaming other people just so that you can excuse yourself from doing what you're meant to do. But that doesn't cut any ice with me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I put an assignment on your life. So don't turn around to me and say, I'm saved, hallelujah, but I don't know what I'm here for. Because Christians should know why they're here. They're meant to be purpose driven. Have you ever heard that expression before? That means that we're meant to serve him with the call or the purpose or the special assignment he has given for our life. And whenever we serve others in any way, we are actually serving God. As you did it for the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Maybe another week we're going to a little bit more about the parable of the sheep and the goats. But in the parable of the sheep and the goats, he talks about, you know, I was naked, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was in prison, I was sick. And as you did it to them, you did it to me. And so often people misunderstand what Jesus is saying in that parable. They think, well, if I'm serving the poor, and I'm serving the sick, any of the poor, any of the sick in the world, I'm serving Jesus. That's not really what he's on about. He's talking about how the nations of the world are going to be judged according to how they served and looked after his followers, these brethren of mine. This is the judgment on those who are not in the body of Christ. How did you treat my followers, even the least of these brethren of mine? And then in Matthew 10 verses 40 to 42, I'm deviating from my message, so that's why it's not up there. It says, anyone who gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones of mine will not go without a reward. What he's saying, that his followers, he identifies with his followers. And the way that people treat his followers is how the Lord is going to treat them on the day of judgment. In other words, you touch me, says Jesus, you touch my body, you touch the church, whether you're in it or outside it, and that's how I'm going to deal with you. Because my body is so valuable to me. It's like anybody wants to touch my wife. Hello, you touch her, you touch me. Now the Bible talks about the Lord having a jealous love. Now what does that word jealous means? It means I am so much in love with my wife, you can't have her as your wife. Hello? Jose. That's better. And that's how the Lord looks at His church. But therefore, if the Lord looks at His church like that, do we within the church look at each other like that? Instead of the quiet mutterings, you know what I mean by having him for lunch? Whatever. So what we're seeing here is that you and I in the body of Christ have a special contribution and assignment upon our life. And the Lord shaped you and me. He designed us so that we would fulfill a purpose. I always think about potters and pots in this direction, that when you look at a teapot, you see a different shape from a vase. Now why? Because the shape determines its function. So what God, how God shaped you is because of the purpose that He has created for your life. God has carefully designed each one of us to fulfill our purpose on earth. Please say designed.
Designed.
God has designed every creature in His creation to have a special area of expertise to fulfill its purpose. Every creature, not just human beings. For instance, He created the animal world, but then you see the way that He designed each animal reveals their purpose. There are some animals that run, there are some animals that hop, there are some animals that swim, there are some animals that fly. Each creature has a particular role to play based on the way that God has designed them. And that is just as true of you and me. That you were uniquely designed by God. Uniquely designed. Hello? Turn to your neighbor and say, I am uniquely designed. That means that God put you together. Hello? You were not simply an accident. It's just not, oh well, it was the result of a sperm meeting a female egg and hey presto, what comes out of that is just, you know, well, that's how it goes. God is involved in the process. You might think about that, husbands and wife, when you make love. God is involved in the process. And that means that you are not an assembly line product. God does not believe in cloning. You can laugh, that's fine, but think about the morality and the ethics that we're battling with today. You are not an assembly line product. You are not mass produced without any thought. You are custom made. You are one of a kind. No, don't give me that face. You are an original masterpiece. Turn to your neighbour and say, you are an original masterpiece. Lynette, you are an original masterpiece. Sometimes wives and husbands need to hear that from their spouse. Okay, so now, I am preaching it, mate. I'm doing my best. Say, because now we see in Psalm 139, it may be familiar to you, but we're reading it from the Message version. It says, you, God, shaped me. Now, I may have helped him about out a bit over the years, you know, physically, but the original design is still in there somewhere. Hello? It's just that Lynette's got more of a husband now than she ever used to. Okay. I said me, not her. The joke was on me. Okay. You shaped me from inside out. You formed me in my mother's womb. Thank you, God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, like an open book. You watch me grow from conception to birth. You need to speak that, those of you who are pregnant. You need to speak that into your baby. You know, husbands, wives, put your mums, dads to be, put your hands on the uterus and spit, not now, don't leave it later. Love your enthusiasm. Okay. Like an open book. Lord, I just want more of that fix. I love that drug. Give it to me, please. It's called Holy Spirit, in case you wondered. Okay, like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life prepared before I'd even lived one day. Let's say it again. You are designed by God, and He has a plan and purpose for your life. Now, before architects design a building, the first thing that they ask is, well, what will the building's purpose be? Before I start dreaming up a design for the building, I need to know what the purpose of the building is. Because the purpose will define the form that the building takes. So, how God put you together will reveal what is your purpose. Hello?
Amen.
Yeah, all right then. That's a cue then. Men. How many men are here? Okay. No, come on. Are you a man? You two. Come on, own it up. Own up. Who's the man in this room? Put your hand up. You've taken the offering, so don't worry. Okay. That means you're not a woman. I know that sounds strange to you. Very profound statement. That means you have a particular identity to serve a particular purpose. Hello? So if you see that in gender, how many women are here? Ah, women. Okay, good. Same thing. Because your design reveals something to do with your purpose that God put on you. You are not an accident of gender. And that we do need to remember also about the ethics of our day to day. Because people are trying to change their birth certificate to say, shh, not born male, I'm a female. Though I'm a male, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But hey, God gave us that identity because there's a purpose in that. So before a building's purpose will be determined, the form it will take, we need to know that purpose. Before God created you, He decided what role He wanted you to play on earth.
Amen.
Right. Okay. He planned exactly how He wanted you to serve Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, God planned exactly how you are to serve Him. You see, it's not a matter of me making it up. How will I serve Him? The question, the real question is, Lord, how have you planned for me to serve you? So He planned exactly how He wanted you to serve Him. And then He designed you for that task. You are the way you are because you were made for a specific contribution on earth. And you're either giving that specific contribution or you're not. God isn't asking a violin to be a trumpet. You laugh, but how many of us might face the Lord one day and say, you didn't fulfill the purpose I put on your life. You've been trying to be something that I never asked you to be. He designed you with certain gifts. He designed you with certain abilities. He also designed you to have certain interests. Let that sink in. He designed you to be motivated in certain directions. Now remember, you're not a clone. A good marriage isn't about people being clones of each other. But they complement each other with their different gifts, their different motivations. Is this getting through? Because I'm getting that blank look that's coming back at me, you know. You were designed to have certain gifts. You were designed to have certain talents. You were designed to have certain interests. You were designed to have a certain personality. Hello? Amen. Now, don't confuse personality with character. Character is what's meant to change. Personality will never change because that's who you are and that's who you're meant to be. So for instance, if you're a bit of an introvert, well, there are certain benefits to being an introvert. You can be a deep thinker. You can be a very prayerful person. An extrovert is very sociable, who's great at building fellowship with others. Be who you're meant to be in your personality. God gave you the personality. It's my character that needs to mature. Hello? Amen. Is this getting through now? Yes. Okay, and that's what we're meant to serve Him with. So you're meant to serve Him with your gifts. You're meant to serve Him with your abilities. You're meant to serve Him with your interests, what motivates you, the drives that are in you. Hello? If you were doing a job reference for someone, one of the first things that you should be looking for when you write a reference for someone, has this person got drive? That's what I look for from the congregation on a Sunday morning when it's worship. Is this a museum or a temple of the Holy Spirit? No one's going to employ someone if they haven't got any drive. Is that not true? So you and I are meant to have, to be driven people in that sense. We're meant to be motivated, impassioned, fervent. We've got heart. Or as we would say in the in language of the church, we're on fire. So God puts certain drives within you, and that's what you're meant to work with, because that shows the contribution, the purpose that's on your life. All of these things together, and your personality, and also He designed you to have certain life experiences. Because if you're not getting this, you really are not going to produce the fruit from the vine that He's put you in. He also gave you certain life experiences. And from those life experiences, you're meant to use those in serving others. And that means when you look at your gifts, your abilities, your interests, your personality, your life experiences, if I could work all that out, I would know clearly what is my purpose on earth and what I'm meant to do with my life. Because God never wastes anything. He won't give you and me abilities and interests and talents and gifts and personality and life experiences unless He intends to use them and use them for His glory. And that is what we're going to be called to account for. Did you use the abilities, your natural abilities, spiritual giftings, your talents, your gifts, your personality, your life experiences? Did you use those to serve the purpose I put you on planet Earth for? Because God wants you and me to live an abundant life. And that abundant life isn't for after death. He wants you and me to live abundant life. He's purpose for us, but we must do it with Him. And our key, that is our key to discovering our purpose in this, in His kingdom. That we know what we're meant to do and we're doing it through and with Him. That means you have a special assignment in life from God that only you can accomplish. Let me say that again. You have a purpose, you have a special assignment in this life that only you can fulfill. Why? Why is it that only you can fulfill it? My wife is signaling, but I don't, okay. Why? What? Go on. Because we've been created in a certain way. We're not mass produced, we're not a clone. You are unique, therefore you have a unique assignment. And only you can fulfill it. No one else can do it. Like no one else can be a good husband for you. No one else can eat your food for you. No one else can breathe air for you. No one can live your life for you. Oh, I'll stay in bed and get so-and-so to live my life for me, and I'll just have the great benefits of what they achieved. Impossible. No one can live the Christian life for you. No one can have a prayer life for you. No one can exercise headship in your family for you. And no one can serve in the body of Christ for you. You are irreplaceable. There is no plan B if I don't take up my call and find my place in the body of Christ. That means that God has a ministry. Please say ministry. You have a ministry in the body of Christ. And you have a mission. Please say mission. You have a mission in the world. So you've got a ministry in the body of Christ and you've got a mission to the world. And only you can fulfill that ministry and that mission. And whenever God gives us an assignment, whenever God gives a person a call upon their life, He always, always equips them for what they need to accomplish. Those whom God calls, He equips. The purpose He's put on your life, He has equipped you to do that, to fulfill that calling. So it's no good looking outside. It's what I always speaks loud and clear is when God called Moses, and Moses for the last 40 years of his life, he's 80 now, and God calls him, or rather reveals to him, his life's calling. All the time before that has not been wasted, it's been preparation. Moses believes he's blown it, he's no good, he's got nothing. And then when God takes him to the burning bush and says, "This is your designer call upon your life. Can't be me. How can I? I've got nothing." And God says to him, "What is in your hand? What have you got to hand already that's in your life that God has purposed and designed you to have, and that's what He wants you to use?" So Galatians says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself with others. Most of advertising today is to enslave you in a philosophy and a belief system that you are not good as you are. Hello? It plays to the worst part of human nature. That's its whole purpose. Most advertising is satanic. The whole thing is to make you look rubbish about yourself. That's why you need our product. You know, now we see this zero-sized woman, and this is what every woman is to be. And until you're that size, you're just rubbish. And the whole thing is to speak life-denying lies into people's lives so they will suck up all the poison of the lies so that then they will get into the deception, be seduced into buying their products. They do not believe in you. You are there to be used because all they want is your money. You cannot worship God and mammon. And so this is where it's saying, make a careful exploration of who you are and work out what you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your life. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your life. What is the evidence of maturity? The ability to take personal responsibility. And there are three influences in the unredeemed, God-forsaken world in which we live. Three influences in the world without God that most people come under those influences to tend to define who they are. Well, I said three that are from the world, but there are two from the world and one's not from the world. What are those? Too early. Three influences. One, people use trends to define their lives. Being a trend follower. I find out who I am by following the trend. So if you're a lemming and everybody's jumping over a cliff, I jump over a cliff. If it's fine, you know, everybody's not marrying but they're just cohabiting, I'll do it too. Whatever is okay with everybody else must be okay with me. I'll just follow along as a mindless sheep. Following the herd. The latest opinion. Second trend that people use to define themselves is what others tell them. That is, they're a people pleaser. I find my identity in seeking to please other people. I don't feel good about myself unless I'm making a person feel good by accepting whole line and sinker of what they're saying. So, I may be a Christian on Sunday, but in the office, I'm just a people pleaser. Doesn't matter what's said or done, I just follow what they say. I'm a thermometer, not a thermostat. But the third trend, the third influence, I should say, that people can use to define themselves is God's truth. I'm either following the herd, or being a people pleaser, or I'm being influenced by God's truth. What does that mean? That I seek first the heart of God. Because when we submit ourselves to God and follow through with what is God's purpose for us on earth, we experience the abundant life that is planned for us. In other words, abundant life is only in the will of God. Good, pleasing, and perfect. So we get screwed up inside when we're screwing up the will of God for our life. And then when we don't work in the will of God, when we are not following through with the purpose, the special assignment that He's designed from eternity for us to follow in, for me, for you to follow in, we grow tired of not knowing who we are. How many people in the world are tired of their life? How many people are following Samaritans? What's the suicide rate in this nation? Why is it that in Finland they have the highest suicide rate in the world? We grow tired when we're not following God's purpose for our life. We're tired in our life. We're weary of our life. And we're tired of what we were truly designed to do. And we need to allow God's truth to define who we are and what we're meant to do with our life. So in order to fulfill God's purpose, our special assignment, the contribution, what we're meant to add to this life, we need to find out what are our gifts and our talents that God has put inside us. And any time we're using our God-given abilities to serve others, we are fulfilling our calling. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to follow a course which I call Getting Into Shape. And the purpose is to help each one of us, me, you, all of us together, to help each one of us explore our own gifts and our own talents and determine what are the ways God wants us to serve together. When Jesus, the night before he died, at the Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate together in a moment, what he did was get down from the table, take off his robe, wrap a towel around him, and wash his disciples' feet. And they were shocked by what he, the Lord and Master, was doing to them. And then when he got up from the table, he said to them, "You don't realize now what I've done for you, but you will later, after the cross." But then he said, "I have left you an example to follow. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you are to wash one another's feet." In other words, he's saying, you have got to, if you're going to walk closely upon my heels as your Lord and your Savior, you have to get a servant heart. To serve with what? With what are your natural gifts and abilities that God's already put inside you. And so each week, over this course of 6 weeks, we're going to work through five factors God uses to prepare and equip us for our purpose in life. And we call it shape. S, spiritual gifts. H, our heart, what drives us. A, our natural abilities. P, our God-given personality. And E, our experiences in life. What I know this, brothers and sisters, over all the time I've been a Christian and ministering, is I know this. That those who don't want to bother won't engage in this exercise. If we're motivated for God and we really love Him, we will want to serve Him. And we want to find out, what is the unique, special assignment that you've placed upon my life? And I do want to find out, what is the treasure that is in this clay vessel? So that I can serve you with treasure, not with clay. And so we see that the Bible says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your life. In other words, getting into shape. And there are positive signs when we're spiritually in shape. There are positive signs when we're in shape, and there are negative symptoms when we're out of shape. Because when we're out of shape, we experience mental frustration. When we're out of shape spiritually, our hearts are weary. And when we're out of shape spiritually, our life appears empty and boring. We just feel we're on a treadmill, we're not fulfilling anything or succeeding in anything. Why is that? Because I've lost sight of my purpose. I'm out of shape. But when a person's spiritually in shape, they will experience some positive signs. Not negative, but positive. Their mind will be focused. They will feel fulfilled. And they will be living a fruitful and rewarding life. Question. So how do you see yourself at this moment? Do you see more negative symptoms? Weary, bored, fed up? That means you're out of shape spiritually and not walking in the will of God with your purpose. Or do you feel that you are focused? You have a sense of, this is what I'm going for. Like a runner sees a finishing line. That's what I'm seeking to achieve. That you're driven by that. Fervent. Passionate. On fire. And that it's rewarding. You know, one of the things I'm giving thanks to God for is, God, I'm doing with my life what I'm meant to be doing. And I love it. And I'm getting paid to do this too. Now, is that meant to be just for pastors? Or is there the priesthood of all believers? Isn't there... Come on guys, don't give me that dull look of yours. You've got to really get into this, because you're either going to get middle-aged, spiritually, flabby, and you're reaping what you've sown, and if you don't do something about it, the next harvest is going to be exactly the same as it is now. You've got no future. That's not what God planned for you. A hope and a future. You're either flowing in it or you're not. You're either producing the fruit in your branch of the vine or you're not. So how do you see yourself at this moment? Do you see positive signs of flowing in the purpose, the special assignment for your life? Or do you experience negative symptoms of not flowing in the purpose that you were created for? So, what do you want to be? Sheep or goat? Do you want to hear, well done, you've been doing well? Your works, well, I've been well done. They're right in line with my purpose for your life. Well done, my good and faithful, what? Servant. Or do you want to hear, I never knew you, get out of my sight. In what way do you think your life could ultimately benefit the body of Jesus Christ and bring glory to God? In what way do you think your life could ultimately benefit the body of Jesus Christ and bring glory to God by making an exploration of your own personal gifts and abilities? The Apostle Paul said towards the end of his life, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord Jesus gave me to do. And will you and I at our last breath say, it is accomplished. Now I can commit my spirit into your hands.